Tonight is the night that Jesus comes to the end of himself. Now, how could I say that? After all, it's Thursday and not Friday. But allow me to explain. Martin Luther, the greatest post-biblical theologian, said that there were two deaths that every Christian must undergo. A big death and a little death. The little death, he said, is actually dying. It's actual physical death. But the big death, the more difficult death, is surrendering to the will of God. Giving in. Acknowledging that He is God and you are not. That He is in control and you are not. That His will be done and not yours. And so for Jesus, in Luther's words, tonight is the big death. Because tonight Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and prays not once, not twice, but three times. Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Is there any other way? Can I get out of this somehow? And yet, after praying those three times, he concludes by saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." And he means it. This isn't a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, tomorrow's going to be rough, but I'll see you on Sunday. He's deadly serious. He's so serious that he sweats blood. There's a medical condition called hematidrosis, where severe stress causes the capillaries to break down in the skin, and this actually happens. Leonardo da Vinci witnessed it in Roman soldiers about to enter into battle. This is not just an act, this is death to Jesus. And so tonight is the night that Jesus fully surrenders to the terrible will of God. Tonight is the night that Jesus demonstrates his faith in God by giving up hope for himself. Now, how is this in any way good news for us? Well, there are two things I want to say. The first thing is objective and historical and eternal. It's something that Jesus accomplishes for us and for all who put their trust in him. And the second thing is subjective and maybe personal for you and immediate. It may speak to you right here and right now. So the first thing, what does Jesus accomplish in the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, one of Jesus' missions in coming to earth was to undo the sins of his forefathers. Jesus comes to be the new Adam, to be the new Israel, to be what humanity was intended to be. And so on the first Sunday of Lent this year, I talked about how Jesus going into the desert to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights was a reenactment of Israel heading into the desert for 40 years after the Exodus. But Jesus undoes it. Because whereas Israel complained and rebelled and turned to other gods, Jesus doesn't complain, and the devil comes to him and tempts him three times, but Jesus stays faithful to the end. He does not fall to the temptation. And so Jesus undoes the sin of Israel. A big part of his mission on earth is to reenact and to redeem the story of man. And so as we go to dark Gethsemane, we ask ourselves, where have we seen this before? When else in the Bible have we been in a garden and been with a character that experienced temptation? And when we think about it that way, what we see is that Gethsemane is a redo of Eden. Because in Eden, the devil comes to Adam and Eve and says, if you eat this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. In thinking about Eden, we begin to see how Jesus is undoing the sin of humanity, the sin that not just Adam and Eve fell into, but the sin that we fall into each and every day. Because in the Garden of Eden, human beings exalted themselves. You can be like God. But in Gethsemane, God empties himself. He humbles himself. In Eden, human beings gained morality. We asserted our right to judge for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. But in Gethsemane, Jesus gives up his right to be right. When you think about it, his impending death on the cross is the most unjust thing that has ever occurred in the universe. And yet never once does he say, it's not fair. This isn't the way it should be. He could have easily said to his father, I've done everything I was asked, everything I was told, and this is how you repay me? No. Jesus gives up on his right to be right. In Eden, human beings tried to become like God. We tried to take control of our lives, take control of our destiny. But in Gethsemane, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, becomes the only true human because he gives up control. He gives up his life and he puts it in the hands of God. Now, lest you think that I'm advocating Jesus as an example of what you ought to do, because if you know me at all, you know that I talk a lot about control and letting go and giving up. I just want to be really clear tonight and say that Jesus' surrender to God is superhuman. He is so committed to God's will that he himself is willing to endure one of the most painful deaths imaginable without any complaint. Jesus is the person that we all should be, but cannot be. And if the 40 days in the desert was the first test, Gethsemane is the final test. Because in Gethsemane, in saying, not my will, but your will be done, without one word of complaint, Jesus shows that he is the only one worthy of being sacrificed for the sins of the world. And so this is the first thing I want to say, that in Gethsemane, Jesus undoes the sin of Adam in a way that only he can, by fully surrendering to God's will, by giving up his rights and himself to the point of death. Second thing, as we watch Jesus, we think about him coming to the end of himself tonight. Maybe right now God is bringing you or has brought you to the end of yourself. Maybe life isn't working out the way it was supposed to. Things are difficult in your marriage. They're difficult in your career. Your finances aren't lining up. Your health isn't what it ought to be. Your kids or your parents, you're disappointed in them that life is not turning out the way it was supposed to. And that may be bad enough, but it's made even worse by a popular American religious idea that goes something like this, God blesses the righteous and curses sinners. And a corollary to that, God helps those who help themselves. Remember that famous Benjamin Franklin line, that's not in the Bible. That's Benjamin Franklin, who is a deist and not a Christian. God helps those who help themselves and abandons those who don't or who can't. Or, another corollary, God operates through the power of positive thinking and is helpless to affect the negatively minded. That's why, you know, if you're ever in the hospital struggling with a disease, you're not allowed to think about it. Stay positive, stay upbeat, don't get negative, don't let the disease win. And the message of this American religious thinking seems to be, you gotta be good, you gotta work hard, you gotta stay positive, and if you don't, you're inviting disaster, and it's all your fault. Get yourself under control. And what tonight does is it puts the lie to all of that. It exposes it for the really satanic thinking that it is. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see the only righteous, the only good, the only faithful person who has ever lived, and we see him suffering. Jesus' goodness does not exempt him from the way of the world. And his suffering is not a judgment of his character. And again, as he suffers, as he pleads, what do we never hear him say? I know that it'll all work out in the end. He never says that. It's all for the best. Every cloud has a silver lining. You know, the sun will come out tomorrow. Jesus faces the reality of his situation without platitudes, without shame, without doubt. He knows that his Father loves him, and he accepts the hardships ahead as part of his Father's will. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is the catharsis of confession. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus tells the truth. He exposes his heart to the Father. And in so doing, he gives us permission to do the same thing. That we don't need to live in denial. We don't need to fear our suffering as God's judgment. We don't need to control our thoughts. We can tell the truth because we know that God is on our side in spite of the difficulties around us. And so tonight, as we watch Jesus come to the end of himself, let us give thanks for what he has done for us and for the freedom that he offers to us. Amen.